As we start this retreat, and you go inward, see if you can sense spaciousness inside you. It might be a bottomless lake. It might be wide and vast, a sense of infinity. However that sense of spaciousness shows up for you, see if you can access it. Without moving your body, check to see if it's relaxed. And then, if you need to drop your shoulders, drop your shoulders. Just be conscious of it before you do it. Like, are you automatically holding your body in some tense situation? And if you are, all right, could that open more? Could it yield more? Could it be softer? Can your body be at rest? And then can your mind just begin to slow down? See if that vastness works for you as an inner sense. That's our first landing place. We'll go much deeper than that. But I'd like you to get really familiar with touching into the vastness all evening. Until we meet again tomorrow morning. Vastness, expanse, spaciousness, open. It might show up as nothing. Like without things, without objects, without. If your mind is busy and there's a sense of that spaciousness at a deeper level, that's fine too. Bring more attention into the spaciousness. Slowly, just gently pulling away from your mind. It's got to be gentle. Like a falling, a natural dropping. Doing something won't work. Spaciousness. And if your mind wants more to happen, just go back to the spaciousness. It's only that your attention has gone into thought. Bring it back to spaciousness. to see if you can discern or identify whether it is totally ordinary or if it has bells and whistles or specialness or for you. Has your mind made it something delicious and special and unusual? Or can you drop a bit beneath that and recognize, oh, this is just there all the time? There's nothing special in it. It's just what is, always. And if your mind has said, oh God, I really should tune into this more often, forget about that too. No comment at all. It's just what is now. The spaciousness, now. Being in it now, period. Maybe it feels simple, maybe it feels easy, maybe it feels natural. Don't run a story about your relationship with the spaciousness. Don't run that story. Spaciousness itself. Let it expand. How far does it stretch? And whistles on it. How far does it stretch? It's natural, it's normal, it's effortless. More like sensing into this quality of the spaciousness, into that frequency. Sensing into it rather than investigating it with your head. Let it kind of reveal itself. How wide does it go? Are you still with it? Have you drifted off into thought? Come back to the spaciousness. There's no entertainment there. Be with it. If you're falling asleep, wake up. Don't let yourself doze off. It's an inner felt sense. And if you can't access what I'm talking about, can you raise your hand, please? Okay, when I tune into those who put up their hands, what might be an antidote to the mind in order to access that place is to go into the position of being master of your mind and know that everything is okay. Tell your mind over and over again, everything is okay. Everything is okay. It's only not okay for the mind. There is nothing that's happening in your phenomenal life that cannot be a welcome part of what has to happen. You can reject it, you can accept it. The flow of pure consciousness, the flow of this movie is working out exactly as it has to. Exactly as it has to. You can trust the order of how your life is rolling out right now. You can trust it. It can only flow the way it's flowing. Without being passive, without being a victim, find the place of wisdom, knowing, wisdom, of where you know that everything is okay. Really, everything is exactly as it has to be. Everything is okay. Let acceptance deepen. Let acceptance of your life deepen. Let acceptance of your personality deepen. Total, unconditional acceptance. Total acceptance. Self-acceptance at the deepest level. Everything really is okay. The divine order has set it up to happen the way it's happening. There is nothing else going on in your life except divine order. There is no other option that any rib of hair on your head was put there except by divine order. There is only divine intelligence behind every single thing you say, you do, you think. That's what's rolling out here, is divine order, divine intelligence. That's what's going on. Trust it. See if you can find where that's true. You have to test out what I'm saying to see if you can find, can I go with what she's saying? Can I find where that might be true, or am I finding where it's bullshit? And if I'm finding where it's bullshit, what's that voice about? What's that? Is that more authentic, or is that more ego-based? You have to test everything I'm saying for yourself. You have to. You have to walk your own path. I'll guide you, but you're responsible for every step you take. I'm responsible for guiding you, you're responsible for walking it. That's the deal here. So see if you can find the divine intelligence that is moving everything. And I'm talking about abdicating personal responsibility. That's a different frequency, and that has validity also. That's much easier to find. I want you to find the divine intelligence that is the original motivator and mover of everything, including the sense of personal responsibility. But you mightn't see how the divine intelligence is creating the idea of personal responsibility unless you have found where the frequency of divine intelligence is moving all of it. And you can find that in spaciousness. Find that place. That frequency is the word that makes sense to me. Like a zone. A part of you that says, yeah, I can kind of get some sort of an idea that there is divine intelligence. It's an inner felt sense. You need to be able to access this. Because freedom is about your personality bowing down to it. So your personality needs to be able to hear it, recognize it. Know that it originates someplace a bit prior to your personality. You can call it divine intelligence, cosmic intelligence. That which moves all. Some of the qualities of spaciousness are there in the intelligence. The infinite, the vastness, the unboundedness. The potential, unlimited potential. These things are qualities of the divine intelligence. So if this piece is too cerebral, just ignore it. Space is the first concept when it comes to forming concepts that are the context for this movie to show up. Space comes before time. So space is the first solid concept in the making of this movie. So all of the potential of this movie is there, is present in the first concept. Otherwise it couldn't roll out. So I'm close to kind of saying divine intelligence is synonymous with space, but that's not accurate. It's that space has the richness of divine intelligence. It's now coming into form, and the first thing it shows up as is space. So the same qualities are shared by both. Infinite, huge potential, vast. Sometimes our personality goes into awe and wonder, and sometimes our personality fights like crazy. Both are fine. Find that zone. Potential, potentiality, intelligence. And then how could your life not be exactly as it has to be? What else is there that can deviate it from how it has to be? What else is hiding out in spaciousness? What is there in that zone, in that frequency, that has a motivation that might clash with divine intelligence? The idea is bonkers. So if it feels like there's something inherently wrong or off or should not be in your life, and you feel like that idea is in the spaciousness, it's only because your mind has grabbed it and plopped it in there, while some part of you is tuning into space and another part of your mind has brought that phenomenal concept there. There are two different radio stations, two entirely different radio stations. The me, myself, I story does not show up in spaciousness. The potential for the me, myself story is there. The intelligence that creates every me, myself story we can absolutely ever create is there. The potential. But we're in the place of just the first concept of space. So it is pure, pure, pure. And let the wisdom of that purity, that is the divine intelligence, that shows up in this zone of spaciousness with the first concept, let that inform you that everything's okay. That everything is okay. That everything is exactly the only way it can be. Phenomenally, let there be self-acceptance in the deepest way that you can muster. And the deepest type of self-acceptance is unconditional self-love. Unconditional self-love. You don't have to change anything to be any other way in order to earn love. Attention is not love. Love is much deeper. The only person that needs to love you is you. That's the only one. If you're running a story that other people need to love you, fun with that. You're not going to get very far until you discover the only person that needs to love you is you. It's the only one. The only one that needs to love you. The only one. Everything else is just frosting on top. See how deep can your love for yourself go right now? Can it be vast? Can it be infinite? Can you stop all self-doubt and all self-criticism? Just stop it. Can there be a trust? A love, a self-acceptance that isn't a resignation, but is authentic from the heart. And from there, it's much easier to see the divine intelligence that's doing every part of you. It's doing you right now. There isn't any separate individual you that has autonomy actually at all. Our minds just imagine that just for fun. Feel the connection between the divine intelligence in that zone of spaciousness and the personal you. See if you can find that there's a thread, that one is the outpost of the other. That the divine intelligence is turning up as a piece of form, as you. See if you can find the connection between both. You won't be able to do it if you don't unconditionally love yourself. You won't be able to do it. You could do it as a concept, but you won't be able to feel it and actually find the continuity, the thing that shows you that your body-mind organism is a trajectory of the same divine intelligence that is pulsating, making everything what it is. Everything. Good, bad, ugly, same, absolutely same. There needs to be a deep, authentic self-acceptance, very deep, with no conditions, an authentic self-acceptance. And with that in place, taste the divine intelligence that moves your form, that is breathing you, that is showing up as your body and showing up as the chair that you're sitting on or the cushion that's supporting you. gently and softly stay with it. Stay with it. The mind likes entertainment. And what's next and what's next? Stay with the vastness. Stay with the vastness. I'd like it to feel normal. Special, it's not. It's just what is. Let it be normal. And if you can, don't jump to deeper than spaciousness unless it happens automatically. I want spaciousness to be so embodied that place of no contraction at all. And your body to be there until we meet again tomorrow morning. A confidence comes from there. A natural confidence comes from there. And it's not like you being confident. It's more subtle than that. Because there's nothing other than it, nothing challenging it. Its nature is confident because it's what is. It's just authentically confident. And your brain can do spaciousness. And then there's you as pure consciousness getting the stuff that's deeper. But your brain can do spaciousness. But your body needs to be relaxed to find the spaciousness. In the absence of contraction and contradiction, spaciousness is. Wide open. Within you. And our work here this week, like every piece of teaching work that I do, we have two things to look for. What is it in the personality that sabotages or knows better the intelligence or wants to work from a pattern that it earned through life experiences rather than yielding and listening and serving the divine intelligence? What's it doing? Can your personality bow down to the divine intelligence? Can you hear the divine intelligence? Or is the personal agenda so locked in that you know better? Because our minds imagine it, that it knows better. So one part is how you show up in the world. Is it divine intelligence moving through you, or are you hijacking it just a little bit for me, myself, I? And the divine intelligence is doing that too, but it'll make you suffer. The divine intelligence is playing as you, your patterns hijacking what was efficient and divine flow, hijacking it in order to create more suffering. And this is why we do the spiritual path. It's like, that suffering's a pain in the ass. That's like, that's just, what am I doing that for? So the divine intelligence has no problem about having the experience of suffering. Not at all. But the me, myself, I doesn't like it. That's who doesn't like it, the me, myself, I. And so we do this work so that the me, myself, I is actually healed enough to not want to do better than the divine intelligence, where it bows down and it serves the divine intelligence with an authentic humility, an authentic transparency, an authentic relationship with what's really going on inside. It's doing all of it. The divine intelligence is doing all of it. One way, you suffer like hell. Create hell for yourself. And the other way is, we call it freedom. And then the other half of the work we do is, how deep can you go? How deep? This evening we're just saying, okay, the first concept, the very first concept, before time, before phenomena, before this and that, and me and you, before drama, before anything. Just space, the first concept. And so we'll be going much deeper than that concept. But let's meet at the first post this evening. So you've got two things to do. Some days you'll focus on one, sometimes you'll focus on the other. You might spend the whole retreat focusing on one and not the other. Let's see how it goes. What's my personality doing to tune into its own agenda and tune out of a deeper wisdom that I know is in me? What's going on there? And then, okay, how deep can I go? And do I put it into funky spiritual experiences? Do I have bells and whistles on? Do I want to have something profound happen to me so that I have a story? Like, none of that stuff rocks my boat. The ordinariness of space is our starting point. And we'll be going much deeper. And however far you can go, it has to be so darn ordinary, otherwise it'll stink. Just going back to what you already know, actually. It's just quietening the mind enough so that the depth of what is and what was there before something could be, could go into the is zone before that, before, outside of all of it. And having your mind managed so that you can hear, you can feel into, you can recognize what that is and how that shows up. We have to do both together, or at least have space to do both together. Going deep is no good if you're a jerk during your daytime hours. It's no good. It's no good. And being a saint in your daytime hours, I'm not much interested in that if the truth isn't recognized and incorporated into your body. So this is why the spaciousness and the divine intelligence, how does that meet your personality? How does that show up in your personality? Is there a kind of a relationship, sorta? It's not quite the right word. Is the divine intelligence hijacked by your mind that thinks it knows better? Because it wants to get attention, because it wants to be noticed, because it wants something better, because it wants to continue with patterns of shame and guilt and whatever story it's running. How much hijacking of the divine intelligence goes on in your personality? How much hijacking are you doing? And are you calling it spiritual? Are you making excuses for it? Can you make it look spiritual on the outside? Can you use phenomenal excuses in order to let yourself get away with it? Is that what's going on? I'm asking you to be authentic with yourself. With yourself. Is that enough to go on for the night? Put your hand up if you're lost. Like, what the heck is she talking about? Yay! Alright, well done, folks. So what are you going to do with your attention now? Until meditation in the morning or until we meet at 9:30? What are you going to do with your attention? I want you to make a decision so that you use this time consciously instead of like, okay, that's that done now. Now I gotta just, you know, check my phone and, you know, have a cup of chamomile tea, whatever it is you do. It's like, no, don't go into your normal autopilot. I want you to decide what you're going to focus on this evening. I want you to work. Reminding yourself of the spaciousness and staying into that felt sense of it, that's one option. Pick just one thing ideally and stay with it so that you can establish a good strong baseline. So if the spaciousness, like the infinite, the vastness, potentiality, very first concept. If you can taste that and you know it's not that obvious to you, then hang out there. Then just keep putting your attention on it till the morning. Find a word or two, or a feeling or a sensation, so that you can access it. Or is it divine intelligence? Can you taste that potentiality? That you could say source. That word has different meanings for different places, so I'm like, maybe not the best word. Maybe it's more accurate to say something like the pulse from which everything deeper than space comes from, is birthed out of. That it's like almost a throbbing of the infinite. It's like it's got its own heartbeat, you know? Just full of all of the intelligence of everything. Rolls out in physical and non-physical. Because it is intelligence in form. So the intelligence itself, in whatever way you can tune into that, is that what you need to access in order to kind of expand your capacity to tune into it, to be aware of it, to embody it? Or is it at the personality level, where there needs to be total unconditional love? Absolute unconditional self-acceptance. So that every efforting can stop. For where you think you need something outside of you, or to look a certain way, to sound a certain way, to be a certain way, to turn yourself inside out, to be loved, to be noticed. Whatever game is going on, these are examples of the absence of unconditional self-love. So if any of these things are going on, self-criticism, self-doubt, shame, guilt, all that stuff, then I love and accept myself exactly as I am in all of my magnificence. Something that might be worth repeating a gazillion times until tomorrow morning. I love and accept myself exactly as I am in all of my magnificence. I love to accept myself exactly as I am in all of my magnificence. Because it's a piece of positive conditioning that you can go to instead of running a habitual negative self-story. And so if it's of more value to you to really love your phenomenal self, then that's what you do. Then that's what you do. Decide which of the three is more relevant for you right now and work on that until the morning. Huh? Go to sleep thinking about it. Brush your teeth thinking about it. All I can say is it's worth it. The whole thing. It's worth it. Everybody know? Does anybody not know what they're going to focus on? Self-acceptance. Trust the intelligence. You can find the intelligence. I want you to trust it, how it shows up through your form. It's the connection between the two. And the mind isn't quite sure that the intelligence is actually the higher power. So it's trusting the intelligence, really trusting it, really trusting it. And the level of surrender that asks is kind of scary. So you might have to go there to see, well, what do I feel is going to be the consequence of trusting the divine intelligence? That's where there's something. Did you find the spaciousness, Marie-Thérèse? Can you find it easily now? Okay. I want you to figure out what blocks you from the spaciousness. I want you to know by tomorrow morning, yeah, that's there absolutely all the time. That's there all the time. And this is what can take me out of it, but it's there all the time. I want it more solid. And really recognize, oh, I left it. Can I find it? Can I find it? Does it go someplace? If I read something, if I sing a song in my head, can I touch into it at will? Play with, like, my attention is away from it, consciously. You know, my attention is away from it. Can I touch it? Is it there? I want it to really be like, that's there all the time. Even if I tune into it or not, it's there all the time. I want you to have that reservoir. Okay. Somebody else have their hand up? Brenda. I wonder, is there something? I'm going to shoot straight out now and if I'm onto something or not. Something about how the intelligence shows up. I'm wondering, is there an idea that it's supposed to look a certain way or sound a certain way or perform a certain way? I think there's something there. It's like there's something there. Because it feels like the system trusts that it would be, you know, the divine intelligence or, you know, that which moves all is moving through your form, but it's kind of double-checked that it must show up like this. And I'd like it to get freer so that your mind isn't double-checking it. So it's a deeper surrender. It's a deeper wide open. So that it's like, oh heck, this is just going the way it's going to go. And when it comes out like that, if there is some shadow work and some glitch and it really comes out like a ball of crap, it will dig up something that was always hiding behind. It will bring you into a different level of seeing what shadow is there. You see? Because you have no way of seeing that, because the mind comes in to kind of check that it might has to kind of look like this, or this is the right way to be. And so there's actually a little pocket of shadow work that you can't access because the mind is coming in with that filter. Right. Yeah. Sure. Hi. Yeah, what do you feel yourself? What were you drawn towards? All three. What does the divine intelligence say is the most important? Because your mind is coming in. What does the divine intelligence say is the most important? Nothing else. Pardon?
That's fine. Totally fine.
Pardon?
I'm sure whatever I want.
It will, yeah. It's... I agree with you that they all could do with the focus. I totally agree with you. I'm trying to feel into it, timing-wise, which should be more appropriate now. Some sleep, and if you don't get sleep, you've got homework to do. Use the time well, you know. At times on my spiritual path, not sleeping for a minute, like not having any dozing time at all, might happen for 7 days on the trot. It's one thing to go, a sleepless night, and then you might have 2 hours the next night, and then you might have 4 hours the next night, then you might have another sleepless one. But when there's absolutely no rest at all for 3, 4, 5 nights, you just end up like wanting to cry all the time, and your nervous system is shaking. And I don't know if any of you have had, I had insomnia for a long time, but it used to get really bad when I was processing something. And the reason being, I said, oh my God, here it is. Something big is breaking. Invariably, something big is breaking. And it would bring me to my knees. That's why. Because I had no fight left. I would just be miserable and crying because I was so exhausted. Thought I was going bonkers. I had no fight left. I had nothing left inside me to negotiate and to be planning and scheming or distracting myself in whatever way. So even if you don't sleep, really consider it to be part of the retreat. Consider it to be part of the retreat, because it kind of is a weird thing. Insomnia thing during retreats, it's breaking something down. You know, it breaks our resistance. So it's all right. If you're not sleeping, it's all right. Use the time. Gently be soft with yourself and use the time. As you lie there, your body is resting anyway, so it's all right. So I'll see you at 9:30. So just be conscious, huh? And in Irish, good night is Íchabhá. So Íchabhá.